our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Eric Erickson Show Podcast, Hour 2.
Howdy. Hello. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. The phone number, if you want to be on the program, 877-973-7425. Happy to have you with me. I've got to talk to you about a subject that's not an easy subject to talk about. It's not one I want to talk about. There are plenty of other topics that I could talk about today. We can move on from what happened in Georgia and the like. But there's one I feel compelled to talk about it because it actually is a very big story. And I want to talk about this one, but I've got to because it is the news. I particularly don't want to talk about it because I have teenagers. I can't believe she's 17. My gosh. I've got a 13-year-old who turns 14. On Friday, he'll be 14 years old. Can you believe that, Charlie? Good gracious. We're all old. And these last couple of years with teens is somewhat difficult, except mine, in fairness, are hermits. My kids would much prefer to be in their own bed, entertaining themselves at the house than going to strangers' houses, other people's houses and the like. And sometimes I don't think that's good for them. That isolation in and of itself can be a bad thing for them. My son, though, is on his Xbox, and one of his very good friends has moved to London. And they can get on the internet together and play video games and still hang out, even though his friend is in London. One of the great things about the 21st century, if you've got a game console like an Xbox or a PlayStation, is your friends can have their friends come over. They're never actually there. There's no mess to clean up. They're all hanging out, having a good time, killing bad guys together online. But there is also no real substitute for in-person hanging out. And that needs to happen sometimes. Let me just start with this. It's from the Washington Post. The change was gradual. At first, Rihanna Alexander was always tired. Then she began missing classes. She had been an honor student at her Arizona high school just outside Phoenix. But last winter, after the isolation of remote learning, then the overload of a full-on return to school, her grades were slipping. She wasn't eating a lot. She avoided friends. Her worried mother searched for mental health treatment. Finally, in the spring, a 3-day-a-week intensive program for depression helped the teenager steady herself and want to get better, Alexander said. Then, as she was finding her way, a girl at her school took her own life. Then a teen elsewhere in the district did the same. Then another. it just broke my heart that there were three different people who were going through what I was. And they never got the chance to heal, said Alexander, 17, now a high school senior. After that devastating stretch in May, families and classmates in the Chandler Unified School District mourned the three 15-year-olds. They would enjoy no more summer vacations, no birthdays or graduations. The losses ignited a debate about what schools should be doing to support students in despair. There are a lot of people in despair, particularly during the holiday season. There are a lot of people who despair. But there is a mental health epidemic among our teenagers these days. We have experienced depression in our house. We wound up moving our children from a school to their present school because my kids were getting bullied by supposed Christian kids for their father's positions and job. Kids can be extraordinarily cruel to other kids. When parents would criticize me, their children would take out those criticisms on my kids. And we wound up moving them to a new school after the administration wouldn't do anything to help. Kids can be extraordinarily cruel. And it took some time for our oldest to make a new friend group at her current school. It's very hard to move. I think about my eldest sister, who was very shy growing up, and we moved to Dubai. And she had to start her seventh grade year in a foreign country surrounded by strangers, just as my daughter did, having to pack up and move to a new school in her seventh grade year. It was very hard on my sister, who was there for only 3 years and then had to go to boarding school. And you could think, well, it's cool. She got to go to school in London. Wasn't cool to her. It felt like punishment. Thankfully, my kid realized that what we had done was good for her, and she's fit in and stuff. This is a very hard problem. COVID made it so much worse. I can feel right now my producer's rage boiling. Even though he's working remotely for me, I can hear the profanity-laced tirades that I know are absolutely coming from the room wherein he is screening phone calls right now, because his children, his youngest in particular, forced to go to school wearing masks with all the teachers in masks trying to learn to speak and understand emotions and stuff. And there was copious amounts of research online at the time that it was detrimental to children's health when they couldn't see the faces of those around them. They needed to learn emotions. They needed to learn to speak. They needed to learn enunciation, and they couldn't, and it was bad. And then COVID came, and everyone said, put on masks. And all of the researchers who had done all of the data, memory hold it, and pretended that data never existed and those studies were never done. And now they're like, oh my gosh, kids are falling behind on speech and the ability to relate to people and emotions. How could this be? We knew it. And they covered it up. They denied it. And we knew when you take children out of their classrooms and put them at home and isolate them from everyone else, problems can occur. I'll tell you another problem that doesn't get talked about enough. It was Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia. It was one of his number one reasons for not wanting to do a lockdown and shut down schools. In fact, when the issue was raised with him about shutting down schools, I broached the subject with him. He was getting beaten up by all sides for not rushing to shut down schools, and his response had nothing to do with depression and despair. It had to do with abuse. For some kids, putting them in lockdown might as well be a death sentence. Staying home with the abuser He was deeply concerned about that. And then became concerned about the mental health issues. And it's true, it's a problem. But there's something else here as well, and it's not spoken about in the Washington Post story. And good, by the way, for the Washington Post story. More than 75% of schools surveyed in spring said their teachers and staff voiced concerns about student depression, anxiety, and trauma, according to federal data. Nearly as many schools cited a jump in the number of students seeking mental health services, but mental health is not the only pandemic priority. Number of teen suicides or attempts have increased. But there's another problem that this doesn't get into. Now, I want you to follow along with me here. This is going to make some people mad, and I don't care. I'm not even going to apologize because it's on you. The Washington Post has a story. 75% of schools surveyed said teachers and staff have voiced concerns about student depression, anxiety, and trauma after being locked down. But it's not just that if we're honest about it. What's happening right now? The loudest cultural voices are telling kids they're all going to die within 10 years because of global warming. The whole world is going to burn. We have less than 10 years to save the planet. They're also being told the nation in which they live is a profoundly racist, bigoted nation. It is systemically racist, they're being told. We're also being told that the end of America is nigh. We might as well bow to China. We're also being told there are no good jobs for young people anymore. There's nowhere to make a living. They're always going to be further and further behind, which is not true. But it's become a prominent talking point from a lot of people. The entirety of the modern world is designed around the crippling fear of the future by people who might have to give up some power or cannot change the world the way they want because of other people's power. They're taking that out on their kids. I go back to that audio I played the other day of what's her name? She's the number three now in the House of Representatives. Catherine Clark said her middle schooler has woken up with nightmares about climate change. She said her child has woken up with nightmares about climate change.
But they've also given us a model to become our own leaders. And let me tell you what it means to me, coming in as a different generation. I remember my middle child waking up with nightmares over concern around climate change.
Why? Why would your middle child wake up with nightmares about climate change unless you yourself had driven your child into a state of anxiety about it? The left is doing this to our kids, doing it to their kids, doing it to your kids in schools. Yes, we have a mental health crisis among kids these days because everyone's talking points are about fear of the other side, fear of Donald Trump, fear of the end of our democracy, fear of the racists, fear of climate change, fear of everything. It's not a healthy way to live. It's not a healthy way for a society to function. And yet they're doing it without apology because it advances their cause, because it keeps people inflamed. On both sides, people try to get the other side to live in fear, inflamed with passion against the people who are otherized so that they hate them. And then those people win an election and, oh my gosh, the world is over. I can't tell you the number of Republicans I know who think the whole country has gone to hell in a bandbasket, is irretrievable and irrecoverable because the Republicans didn't have a good election cycle. And when the Republicans do, because they will have a good election cycle, these people will be convinced, well, it's only temporary. Unless we can cling to power, and you can't in this country, because there is no such thing as a permanent political majority unless you blow up the Constitution, which some people want to do. And meanwhile, our kids absorb it all. I don't like to talk about this. My child was encouraged to, well, make temporary problems solve with a permanent solution, shall we say, by other kids, because those kids' parents so hated me for political positions I had taken on radio that their kids went to school and took it out on my kid. We were able to extricate our child from the situation. And I'm very blessed with two good kids with good heads on their shoulder and good senses of humor. But there are a lot of people so absorbed by their anxieties and their fears and their frustrations, and their children feed off of it. And so many people on the left hate Republicans and Donald Trump and conservatives and Christians. They hate big business and fossil fuels, and they think the world is coming to an end. They think that climate change is going to ruin us. They think, they claim, they believe that America is a racist nation, and they're raising their kids in this nasty, awful nation that's going through bankruptcy because of the national debt and is going to be crushed by China. Of course their kids have mental issues and anxiety issues and need therapy. The parents, the school systems, the culture around them is making them be one giant ball of anxiety. And until we can solve this cultural problem, I don't know that we can solve the problem of mental health of our kids. And I will tell you, parents, you listening to me right now, if you are every day in fear of the future because of the politics or the culture of this country, your children are observing and absorbing that. And you're going to cause problems in your own family because you yourself have worked yourself into such a state of anxiety over things you can't even control. It's going to work your children into even more anxiety, and you better be thinking about that. A friend of mine and I were discussing Boll & Branch sheets the other night when he was sitting on the front porch with me, and he didn't believe that they got softer and softer every time you washed them. His wife was not convinced at all. She figured it was all marketing hype. Now she wants Boll & Branch sheets for all of their beds at home. Why? Because they really do get softer every time you wash them. They're free of toxins, pesticides, harsh chemicals at every step of the process. They're the finest 100% organic cotton on earth. They're made by artisans who earn the pay and the respect they deserve. And right now you can bring home a better night's sleep this holiday season with Boll & Branch bedding. Their signature sheets even come wrapped and ready in a beautiful holiday gift box. It's going to look good. It's going to feel great. For a limited time, get 20% off your first set of sheets and free shipping when you use promo code Eric at BollandBranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L-A-N-D, branch.com. Promo code is Eric, E-R-I-C-K at BollandBranch.com. Hi there, it is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. If you want to be on the program, let's go first to Lewis. Welcome to the show, Lewis. How are you?
Hey, Eric, I want to talk about this issue with the kids and this rate of the suicide with the teenagers. I grew up with mom and dad in the home. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad went to work. He was home every night. And this just goes to show our society has just broken down the mom and dad family. And it's so important that kids have a dad and they have a mom. And I think what happens is the mom and dad, they lose focus of this, and they put them in the school and they say, okay, you teach our kids, we're gonna go on with our careers. And a lot of times they don't see the problems. They think, okay, this is just a kid going through some issues and he'll be fine. Well, then it goes to where he's got to go to special education, or we got to put him on Ritalin, and the kid becomes lost in the shuffle. It used to be that, you know, eventually the kid would go to college, go in the military, and our society would be okay. But, you know, we really have lost touch with the family unit.
You know, that's well said. We're seeing this greater societal collapse around us, and all the data is there, and people get mad when you point it out. Brad Wilcox, who is a researcher in this, kudos to him, because he's a very nice guy who tries to explain this to people across partisan lines, that we know how to solve the problem, but it's the one thing we don't want to do. Promote a two-parent heterosexual nuclear household where the parents stay together. And that solves so many of the problems, whether people want to believe it or not. The data is there for all to see. Let's pause and just talk about what's going on in the country for a moment. We got sky-high inflation. We got runaway government spending. Trust in Washington is completely eroded. When government is this dysfunctional, you got to change the course of the country. You know you have to. That's why I'm excited about the work Americans for Prosperity is doing. They're focused on policy solutions that actually improve people's lives, unlike so many in D.C. who just want to play political football and have power. Americans for Prosperity doesn't just come up with solutions. They act on those solutions. They have the largest network of community activists in the country. They are out there every day talking to millions of their fellow Americans. If you're interested in seeing how you can get started with Americans for Prosperity in your community, visit AmericansForProsperity.org/Eric today. That's AmericansForProsperity.org/Eric, E-R-I-C-K. Hello there. It is Eric Erickson here across the nation. Should you like to be on the program, 877-973-7425. I want to go to Michael. Welcome to the program, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Eric. How are you?
Great.
You know, I remember when I was a child, I'll be 68 this month, it was always see Dick, see Jane, see Dick and Jane. See spot, run, run, spot, run. And now it has gotten to be like, see climate change. See how climate change will kill you. See nuclear war. It's no wonder these kids are so afraid and anxious. I mean, and I lay it all on the so-called Democrat, socialist, communist. That's what I call them.
Michael.
Yes.
I'm probably going to get in trouble for this, but I am a little bit upset and disappointed with you that you didn't note that we still have C. Dick and Jane. It's just they appear at Drag Queen Story Hour now in school.
Well, yeah.
I'm just saying, read into that what you will. But yeah, I mean, you're right. It is, we have placed on our kids an existential crisis that is not real. They have not made, and we burden them with it. I so much appreciate your phone call. And yeah, we should stop indoctrinating the kids, get back to the basics. See Dick and Jane in school, just not like that. And I don't know that we can or that we will, but we should. And you know how kids, when you're going through a divorce, I have not been through one and I hope to never be through one, but those of you who have, statistically, unfortunately, about half the audience, you know how the kids respond typically. Now you tell the kid, mommy and daddy aren't getting a divorce. It's just the planet has less than 10 years left. What do you think that's going to do to them? Goodness gracious. The behaviors and anxieties people, and let's just be honest here. In addition to people being stupid, people are very selfish. I myself can be a very selfish person. I sometimes very much have to remind myself to stop being so self-absorbed on all of that. But I gotta say, people can be so selfish and self-absorbed, and they pile their anxieties on other people and on their kids. And it's not healthy at all. Back to the phones, Tracy. Welcome to the show, Tracy. How are you?
I'm great, Eric. How are you?
Great.
I'm probably a rare caller. I guess I would have to classify myself as a conservative Democrat, if there is such a thing, but I'm a Pentecostal church going girl, African American. I'm very much against, marriage equality when it comes to, homosexuals being married. I am a very much, pro-life person, and I sometimes feel I'm not even represented, because I don't agree with some. I agree with a lot of what you say. Some things I don't agree with, especially when it comes to race, because I've certainly been treated poorly in certain circumstances when it comes to being African American, and, you know, having to teach my sons, you know, about how to conduct themselves. And I know that there's some white families that never have to have those conversations.
Well, no. Just to be clear, I have said repeatedly that my white friends don't have to raise their children with lectures on how to deal with the cops, and a lot of my black friends have to. So, yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Let me let you make your point, and then I got a question for you.
No, I was just saying I appreciate your show because I think that you speak fairly. I don't always agree with everything you say, but I agree with a lot of what you say. My husband and I, you know, we're pastors. We work very hard. We teach our congregation the Bible. And I believe the reason why we have a lot of the problems we have today is because people have no anchor for their souls. They Amen. Just don't have anything to hope for. And I'm a firm believer in, you know, that we have to teach and train our children. We are very much, you know, adamant about teaching those kind of values in our church. And, you know, and I feel in a conundrum sometimes when I have to vote, because I agree with some issues for Democrats, but there's so many I don't agree with. And the same thing with Republicans. There's something I certainly agree with, but there's, you know, certain things that I don't agree with when it comes to race. And I just feel so underrepresented at times.
Boy, let me tell you, you're singing my song here, because I sometimes I feel like a stranger in a strange land when it comes to politics. I was an elected Republican, and I can't tell you what they stand for, other than than beating the Democrats. And same with the Democrats. And I guess I feel like they're a little honest about what they want, and Republicans aren't. So let me ask you: you describe yourself as a conservative Democrat. Given your background, your faith, and what you believe, would you consider yourself more a Democrat than a Republican?
No, I consider myself right down maybe the middle.
I'm misunderstanding.
Like I wouldn't say I was necessarily an independent, because a lot of times they are closeted Democrats or closeted Republicans.
Oh, they always are.
Right. So I'm pro-life, for sure. I don't believe in abortion. I believe, you know, there's a court case now with the Supreme Court where a young lady denied a gay couple, you know, her services. But, she, you know, so I'm like, why don't you just go to a business that will service you?
Right.
If that's her right to believe that her faith won't allow her to do that, I'm sure if they wanted a birthday website or a website for their dog or whatever, I don't think she would have denied that.
Yeah, but as a matter of fact, she has a huge gay clientele already.
Absolutely. So I think it's just a way to encroach. The enemy's real. And I think, you know, with every opportunity, he can find a way to, you know, discredit God, he will.
Okay, and, so Tracy, can I thank you for calling. I'm thoroughly enjoying talking to you. And two, let me ask you another question here, because you mentioned the enemy. I really do, and maybe it's just because I pay attention to more stuff now than I used to, but I really feel like there is some spiritual component run amok in our society today that maybe 10, 15 years ago, maybe it wasn't, or we weren't aware about it, but it just seems across the board that we've isolated ourselves, and everybody struggles with loving their neighbor now in ways we used to not.
Right. I even think about, and my dad is so funny. He talks about even back in those days when Tip O'Neill was the Speaker of the House, and how even though they didn't agree on a lot of things, they were able to come to the middle, make consensus, and get things done. And I think that we don't even, my husband said this morning as we were leaving, you know, we need to know a few more of our neighbors more. So I don't think we make connections with people. Mm-hmm. I think we look more for our differences than what we may have in common. And that does not mean that because I'm looking for my common connection with you that I have to agree with your lifestyle either.
Right.
So, I mean, I can appreciate and pray for you and love you and still tell you the truth. And but I think people don't extend that same grace. And
right.
So with my kids, it starts there with you. Although I teach you that we don't agree with certain lifestyles, that doesn't give you the right to be mean to somebody. And I'm not saying don't stick up for your values. Please do that. But don't be disrespectful. And, you know, if you see something wrong, if you can offer a helping hand, and then pray for these people. If we would pray more for people,
mm-hmm.
if we would think about people that there's a reason why they are that way, and consider, you know, like the Bible says, considering yourself. It's so easy for us to put others down, but you could be in that same position, you know, had it not been for the grace of God. So I think we ought to just, you know, I'm not talking about love and flowers. I don't mean mm-hmm. that,
right.
you know, peace all over the world, because we're not going to have that necessarily. But I think one neighborhood, one coworker at a time, if we could extend, people would be even more willing to hear your message if you extend grace and kindness to them.
Amen. Look, boy, I'm glad you called. Just talking to you has been uplifting. I gotta move on, but thank you so much, sir. For calling. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
And Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you for taking my call. Same to you. Thank you.
Absolutely. You know, let me just make one more point from Tracy said it's a C.S. Lewis line that pretend to love your neighbor. And do all of the things that you would do if you loved your neighbor by pretending to love your neighbor, and one day you'll be surprised that you actually do love your neighbor. I'm paraphrasing that probably somewhat badly, but the basic point is just act like you love your neighbor, whether you do or you don't. And what does that mean? It does not mean standing in front of their house with a bullhorn yelling, repent, repent, the end of the world is nigh. It means you should be the sort of person that your neighbor wants to leave an extra house key with, so if they're out of town, they can call you and say, could you please go turn off the alarm or something? Just put trust in you. Maybe, and you don't want to be that hands-on, but my gosh, we would all be better off if we knew the person next door to us and knew how to get along with them. I'm one of those weird people that still takes goods when the people move in across the street, take them something and say, welcome to the neighborhood. I do that. Now, we haven't had anybody move in lately. Everybody likes our neighborhood. I'm ready to move out of my neighborhood because too many people know where I live now. But at the same time, there's something to be said for putting aside your partisan differences to love your neighbor. And if you can't, there's a problem, and it's with you. Not everything's political. Somebody sent me a tweet earlier. Someone was referencing me on Twitter without putting my handle in, and it's a newly elected state representative or something like that, and he essentially said he didn't like my fluffy after the election tweets or something, the all shucks guys, good game, tweets. Man, the world where people live in that, like I'm sure it was an acknowledgement. Like I said on Twitter, those of you who don't live in Georgia can't appreciate just how good the Raphael Warnock ad campaign was in Georgia. It was really good. You may despise the guy. You may think he's wrong on everything. And I think he's wrong on everything. But his ad campaign was really good. He came across as very likable. They were deeply funny, and his team should be commended on those. And some people are like, how dare you say anything nice or fluffy or whatever about the election? There's more to life than politics. There's more to life than tribalism. And you should, despite profound political disagreements, find ways to get along with your neighbor. Never said it would be easy, but you're supposed to. And you can fight it out in politics otherwise. And when you fight it out in politics, you can become a customer of a group like Patriot Mobile and know that they're spending some of their money to help you fight the causes you care about. They are a Christian conservative cell phone provider. If you go to patriotmobile.com/Eric, you can move your business to them. And as you help them grow, they grow their spending. And in their spending, they help the conservative causes you care about, the pro-life movement, the Second Amendment movement, so much more. They help veterans and first responders. They give you great discounts. If you're a veteran, a first responder, an NRA member, a teacher, if you've got a lot of phones in your house because you got a lot of kids, Patriot Mobile can help you save some money. They give you guaranteed great service. They use the same cell towers everyone else uses. You can even go to patriotmobile.com/ERICK, patriotmobile.com/Eric. You can see their coverage map down to your house, how strong the 5G is, the data, the voice, all of that. Or you can call them. They have 100% U.S.-based customer service. Tell them I sent you and you get free activation with them. 972-PATRIOT. They can even take your existing phone number and put it on your account there. If you have an unlocked phone, they can give you an eSIM and you can just start up that day. You don't have to worry about getting a new phone. PatriotMobile.com/Eric or 972-PATRIOT. Patriot Mobile. Do business with a company that shares your causes and puts their money where their mouth is to support them. Hi there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. This hour of the program brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan. Wherever you are, they can help your business grow. Reach out to them at firstlibertyga.com. Tell them I sent you. Wherever you are listening right now in the United States, they can help you for big deals, $750,000 and above. firstlibertyga.com. All right. One more phone call here. Diana, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you, Eric?
Good.
This is my first time calling. I really love your show. I don't always agree with your opinion, but I have learned so much just from listening to you with an open mind. And, you know, we share a love of Christ. And so that I listen a little bit more closely, to you. And I just, you know, I want to encourage people that if you're really a believer in Christ and a Christ follower, ultimately God is in control and we need to trust him, even if the election results didn't turn out the way we wanted them to.
That is very well said.
I think it's really important. I think Christians especially forget about that. They think God has failed them if their person doesn't get elected. And, you know, I think we went through all that in the last major presidential election. And I also want to comment on the gal that you just spoke to who is a pastor. And she just spoke something that I'm absolutely passionate about. And she talked about how we need to love people. And God doesn't call us to condemn. That's his job. He calls us to love people. And people who have moral failures, like we do, because we are all sinners and have fallen short of God's glory. And there is no one sin that's worse than the other. So your sin and my sin, they're not diminished because we're Christian. And I really, you know, something that I really believe strongly in is that if we really are Christ followers, and that means that we should behave in a Christ-like manner. And what about our behavior is going to attract a lost person to Christ if we're screaming at them and telling them that they're going to hell and that their behavior is that God hates them?
I'm glad you said this. I am a big believer in relational evangelism. I just don't think you can draw someone into the light without kind of shining the light on them by being a friend to them. I went through evangelism explosion stuff, and you show up at the person's house. Do you know if you were to die today, where you would go, and ask the questions and stuff? And I was never comfortable about that. Just want to know and become friends with someone. And eventually all friends start to have these deep metaphysical conversations and you can talk about them, but you can't have those conversations until you've actually gotten to know someone. I've got about 30 seconds.
I remember before I was a Christian, and I would look at those people screaming at me and thinking, heck no, I'm running the other direction. And I just think it's God wants us to love. And if we would love people with the love of Christ, our world would be so completely different.
Amen to that. Diana, thank you so much for calling. Merry Christmas to you. And listen, loving someone does not mean you're affirming sin. There's a twisted definition of love today that you have to embrace their whole person. You don't have to do that. But just be a good neighbor. It's not easy. It is not easy, particularly when they're a Mets fan. My gosh, it can be hard, but you still got to love your neighbor. Even the Mets fans and the Tennessee fans and the Alabama fans.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.